WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pop.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet's slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is WWE Night of Champions recap show. Thoughts, opinions, outrage, confusion, chickens, and probably some sort of geeky reference. I don't know. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Starting with me, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Tonight, we have Mace.
Quiet, I'm feeding my addiction to card-based apps.
Really need to cut that out. Speaking of cut out, music rock.
I'm busy, just talk.
It's hard to talk when someone is singing behind me.
Well, get used to it.
But you'd never be a great singer then, Omega. You'd hate your backup singers.
Yeah.
Busy writing something for someone.
I would be. Yeah. It'd be crap because it'd just be me on stage, no band, no nothing. It'd be like karaoke night. It sucks.
Speaking of karaoke night,
leading the way in this little. I don't even know what to call this place anymore. I was going for train wreck or clusterfuck. So, train fuck. The one and only Tim Stein.
It's a cluster wreck.
Oh, but that doesn't have the word fuck in it.
I know, that's why I said it, because we are curse-free tonight. No fucking swearing.
No. Curse-free? Fuck it, I quit.
Knew that it happened. You know, Mike's not allowed to curse. He can't be on.
There are like five curses in Omega's intro. How are we going to be curse-free?
Yeah, no shit. Oh, my God. You guys, you need to eat a bar of soap, each and every single one of you.
Bars of soap? No, nowadays people take, you know, branches and then... Anyway, we're not going to go there.
Yeah, I'm eating Chips Ahoy with Oreo cream in them.
That's bad enough. I mean, that's like taking a great, great big bite out of Lever 2000.
Now a state fair needs to deep fry these.
I'm sure a state fair someplace has deep fried them.
Well, they're brand new, so you don't know that.
Well, okay, then close enough. Calgary Exhibition and the Stampede last time they were in town here back in July offered deep fried Oreos.
Oh, that...
God damn it! Now you got me craving a deep fried Mars bar.
everyone's done deep fried Oreos at this point. That's the easy stuff. I've seen deep fried Kool-Aid.
Okay, that's a new one on me. How do you?
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Deep fried Kool-Aid. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how they accomplished it. I don't know if they froze the powder and then like wrapped it up and fried. I don't know.
Okay, I'm still trying to work out how the Chinese are able to deep fry ice cream.
Weird.
Don't tell me. You guys have never had deep fried ice cream?
Ancient Chinese secret.
Mm. I have had deep fried ice cream. I used to work in a Mexican nightclub, I guess you could call it. It was a restaurant during the day, and at night they'd have live bands, and then I played as a DJ in between sets. And one of the items on the menu was deep fried ice cream. It's a Mexican treat. But that being said,
did we step into the man kitchen or, you know?
Like I'm saying, that being said,
you know what? At this point, I reckon that's better conversation than talking about tonight's pay per view.
We'll get into that almost immediately. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Night of Champions edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm going to just throw this out here right now. Those of you who have my Skype, please do not Skype me during the podcast. It screws up my broadcasting, so don't do it, please. Thank you, and I appreciate it very much. And all I can say is cheer up and don't be so unhappy. That being said, hey, it was Night of Champions tonight, and of course they, as they always do, kicked it off with a free view on YouTube tonight.
A one-hour kickoff show.
60 whole minutes without commercial interruption?
Sort of.
Well, like, no genuine commercials, but it was Shameless Shill.
Shameless Shills and Diet Mountain Dew and WWE movies and stuff.
Do you do the do?
That was the question I was asked tonight. Do you do the do?
It's the only diet in it. It's the only diet with dew in it.
Which still has, you know, six times more sugar than most other drinks.
There you go. So what happened on the free view? We had the pre-show with Christian and Chris Jericho.
No, the only worthwhile thing that happened on the pre-show was AJ Lee stopping by the desk to be all, like, cartoony and shit.
Yeah, she was out there. She cut a promo on AJ and basically, not AJ, on Paige and Nikki, and basically said that Nikki may bark, but AJ bites. So.
No complaints here.
There's that. And then you had the Peep Show, Christian and Chris Jericho. I kind of miss the two of them together. They have awesome chemistry. And it was a pointless Peep Show. It just basically put more sort of heat on the Orton Jericho match later.
Yeah, but they did spend some time going back and forth as only Christian and Jericho can do, right?
Yeah, the witty banter was there. That was awesome. They, you know, they're arguing over who came up with the tag team name, whether it's the Sexy Beast or the Vitamin C, and you know, one was the captain, one was the general, and yeah, it was entertaining for a little bit. Good to see Christian. Well,
what did Jericho call himself? General Jocularity?
Something to that effect, yeah.
But the thing is, Christian should have backed down straight away, because as we all know, Jericho invented everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Christian's point was mute, straight away.
I'm still making that t-shirt, by the way.
Are you?
Yes, Chris Jericho invented this t-shirt.
Coming soon to the shop. Maybe.
I'm sure WWE lawyers will let you put that one up.
Well, I didn't say I was going to sell it. I mean, I'll give it away for free. I'll include it when you buy a piece of paper with my name on it for $9.99. T-shirt included free. And then that, you know, circumventing all of, you know, I'm not making a profit off them.
But why would anyone want to buy a piece of paper with your name on it?
Because it comes with a free Jericho invented this t-shirt. Get it?
Just don't even try to comprehend Tim's weird business ideas.
I know all about Tim's weird business ideas. Trust me. Trust me.
Anyway.
So
the peep show got interrupted by Randy Orton.
Yeah, call them Canadian. Cool. The real
Which life. Is awesome because, let's face it, Canada is cool.
Call them the real life Terrence and Phillip, Brad and Angelina, yada, yada, yada. More references to stuff than Orton, you know. And they're basically saying Orton will never ever be the same again. So that what it was.
That's the only thing about Jericho I think that really bugs me is how he pronounces the word again.
He says it correctly. You don't say it correctly.
Again!
That's all Canadian. You know, you gotta do it, Tim, because you're the Canadian.
Don't you be telling me how to be Canadian.
I'm telling you how to be Canadian.
You are the last one to be giving me advice on how to be a Canadian, eh?
Well, you gotta follow Jericho. He invented Canadian, so...
There you go. He invented Canada, I guess.
I think he'll take credit for it, possibly.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that was the peep show, pretty much.
Again, nothing to write home about. They had
just a glorified promo for the Orton-Jericho match.
Which needed something, because considered there has been no real build-up to that match.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sort of needed it. And they kept saying Christian's out because, well... He hasn't been medically cleared to return because of all of his injuries that he's had, and that makes Omega sad.
I love Christian, and I really enjoyed all of his time in the ring, but I think it's time for him to seriously just hang it up.
I am disappointed. I am a Christian fan, so yeah, it's kind of sad to see the in-ring days are probably behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, on the upside, it's more time to spend at home with King Kittens.
shot
I'm
number
just
one.
Waiting. Is he in the chat room yet?
I don't know if he's... He may be in the chat
room.
We'll
find out.
We'll find out in
We're
a minute.
We're going to find out. If we see a fuck you, Omega, then we'll know he's there.
You know, you would know. He's your personal assistant now, so...
Is he?
Yeah, he's your personal assistant. He'll do anything you need.
Since when?
Since about 10 days ago, I think.
What happened 10 days ago?
We named him your personal assistant.
Why would you do that to me?
Because he didn't want to be the intern. So we needed another job for him, so he became your personal assistant.
Which is different from an intern how?
So you gave him a demotion.
Well, he decided that...
Australian.
Well, since he was not eligible to win the prize that we're giving away tonight, so we had to come up with a role for him, so he became your personal assistant.
I see. Yeah, before we get into the main show, let's just tell everybody that we're going to announce the winners of WTR Pick'em Challenge. And this time around, the actual winner will receive a copy of the brand new book from New York Times best-selling author Brian Shields, 30 Years of WrestleMania. And that's, of course, available now in bookstores everywhere and online at WWEshop.com. And I wouldn't be surprised if you can buy it on Amazon, too.
It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and yeah. Omega was yelling at me, so I couldn't finish the plug.
Indiegogo and...
And this just in, the winner is... Well, we'll tell you later, but the winner will
The winner is to be announced as soon as we're done recapping the pay-per-view.
Right, but I just found this part out because I wasn't sure. The winner will receive an autographed copy of 30 Years of WrestleMania.
Okay, now that part was news to me, too.
This was news to me. I was just confirming it just now. So it's an autographed copy.
And once again, we'd like to thank author Brian Shields very much.
Who was on the Rack this past Thursday.
A continuing guest on the Rack radio show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern now.
10 o'clock Eastern, yes. So go back and listen to that interview we just did with Brian. It's over an hour long, and we talk a whole bunch of things.
Look, when I start doing a plug, don't like try to like take over the plug unless I get it wrong, and then you can correct me.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious because I'll make King Kittens your personal bitch.
No, that's what we do to him on Saturdays, where he gets things shoved up his rectum.
Yeah,
Oh no, Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, did you guys make your own deck? Did you make your own deck?
Yes, we did.
I knew it, and it's got to be like dealing with WWE Pro Wrestling and WTR.
And TV.
And TV.
There's a small TV deck.
There's a deck for each.
There's a deck for each. Yeah,
Brock likes to juggle a lot of decks. That's all I'm saying.
Well done. And hey, look who's in the chat room now that we keep making fun of.
Hey, King Kittens! We were just talking about you.
He's been there for a while. Anyway, let's get into the show. Now that we plugged the book coming out and that sort of thing.
So, yeah, we plugged the book coming out and that sort of thing. And then now, I guess it's time to take a look at the actual Night of Champions pay-per-view itself, which started out with the tag team title matchup. We had Jimmy and Jay, when I say ooh, you all say ohs, taking on Gold and Stardust.
The very creepy Gold and Stardust. Goldust.
Can we just call them what they are? They're fucking pedophiles, okay? Because that's what they look like. They look like they should be hanging out in a black van offering kids candy. Or cosmic keys.
That's what they call the candy. This was a solid match. I don't know what you guys thought, but we'll get that in a second. But mainly, it seemed like Goldust and Stardust were in control for a lot of this one. At least that's the way it came across to me. We had Usos with new gear, with their faces on the side of their trunks now. Kind of looks weird.
And what was it that Omega said about opening up the pay-per-view with a match? That...
I mentioned something about opening a pay-per-view on a match guaranteed to get face paint on the mat.
Yeah.
And Goldust, what if one side of his face was just basically completely black? Kind of
weird.
He was
going for like a head on fire thing, but it was only visible from the right side.
Yeah. There was a weird promo on the kickoff where Booker T interacted with Goldust and Stardust. It kind of was kind of creepy. So yeah,
we're all hated.
Yeah, I know. Nothing new. So it was a solid, good match. The crowd sort of got into this one for a while. And in the end, we have brand new tag team champions, Mace.
Yay, they got the Cosmic Key. I give a shit, knows no bounds.
Not a fan of the Dust Brothers.
I've always been a fan of Gold Dust. Stardust is just fucking creepy. I don't know what it is about him. He's just creepy as fuck.
Well, keep in mind, that's what Goldust was supposed to be. But when you get used to him, he's not so creepy anymore. Now you have, like, new age, 21st century creepy.
I want to know why you consider them to be pedophiles. Is it the paint, or is it just the way Stardust acts?
It's the paint. It's the panel. The way they, it's the paint. It's the gear. It's the way they act. It's the way they speak. It's basically everything about the gimmick.
To be fair, I've never seen pedophiles walking around in full-body PVC gold suits.
Yeah, well, I have no experience or anything like that with pedophiles.
I equate them to clowns.
What, the face-painted guys? No.
You gotta be more specific. Which face-painted guys?
Yeah. No.
The Dust Brothers.
Not accusing Jimmy and Jay of anything.
But he is equating the Dust Brothers to John Wayne Gacy here.
Not really. As my friend Nick in the chat room is saying, it's an Australian thing. There was actually a very well-known children's performer who dressed as a clown.
Oh,
so
I guess.
Late early 90s, who was actually a pedophile and actually reminds me a lot of, like, the Dust Brothers.
Okay, yeah, and he actually got busted with, like, tons of fucking photographs and shit.
Yep.
I know that news story. Yeah, now I get it. Okay. Yeah, that's just, like, creepy. Let's talk about the match more.
Yeah.
You want to talk more about creepiness about the match? No, I think we're good on that one.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, new tag team champions. Not a bad way to start off a pay-per-view if you want to get things going. Not a surprise that it's a title match because it is Night of Champions.
And every title is on the line.
What?
It's Night of Champions and every title is on the line. That's the tag. That's the tagline of the show.
Okay. Every take the marbles out of your mouth.
Get your hearing checked, Tim.
I don't have a problem with my hearing. It's my eyes.
Anyway,
moving on, shall we, to the next matchup?
I should mention only two people picked the Usos out of everyone who did pick them. Everyone else went with the Dust Brothers on that one.
Everybody went with the Dustbins. Oh, hey, there was a, before the U.S. title match started, the Zigglers. And I say that because R. Ziggler and Dolph Ziggler, they cut a promo about the best stunt double.
See, we haven't gotten to hear your opinion on R. Ziggler. What's your thoughts, Tim?
On R. Ziggler?
On R. Ziggler.
He's got to stay out of the sun because his tan is just a little bit deeper than Dolph's.
Well, he is the sun tan Superman.
There you go. Yeah.
If anyone remembers that reference.
To tell you the truth, when they first debuted that a few weeks ago, just to counter the Miz and Damian Mizdow, I just got a kick. It was funny. I got a kick.
I must say, it's R-Truth's most successful gimmick to date.
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's gotten him more TV time than anything else he's done this year.
Yeah, just give him a month, Omega, because he's just going to start complaining that R. Ziggler's riding on Dolph's coattails.
Riding on his coattails? He's already sealing the guy's underwear, for God's sake.
Okay, now we're getting back to the creepy talk.
Hey, that's the way the WWE's going at the moment.
It's just right down the shitter some days. I'll tell you, you know. So, yeah, moving on from the promo to the U.S. title matchup, we had Sheamus versus Cesaro. And this was one of the matches that I was looking forward to, announced on the card. And, yeah, I'll admit it, I drank Kool-Aid. I was positive that Cesaro was going to win.
This was physical, very, very physical, what you expect from these two guys. You can't help but notice that they really, really wanted to be in the ring with one another because they're really trying hard to impress some people. It seemed like, at least that's how I took this match. It was a pretty good match. What do you guys think?
See, I actually look forward to these matches. It's one of those things where Cesaro is just this physical beast, and Sheamus just is one of the few guys in the locker room who can actually help him show that off. Yeah, it was a good outing for both of them. Sheamus was a lot more fired up than I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah,
I think both of these guys both. I think it was nailed. He kind of feels slighted right now. They were out to get some attention tonight.
Well, they may have possibly succeeded. We had a lot of good back and forth. There were quite a few false finishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the counter exchange they had with Cesaro just deadlifting him onto his shoulders at the end of it.
Yeah,
that modified powerbomb. Yeah. That was kind of impressive. They countered back and forth, missed the bro kick a bunch of times. Pretty good match.
This entire match was an interesting mix. You had some good chain wrestling. You had some great counter stuff. You had some nice mix of brawling in it. This would definitely be one of those match of the night candidates. But it just seemed... as good as it was... There was, not enough hype behind it.
And it never got to that final gear.
Yeah, it's like they're sort of topping the engine out on revs, but it's not really going anywhere.
Oh. They're not getting out of second and into third.
Pretty much. At least they didn't go into reverse like a lot of matches do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they have a couple of more matches with each other, and hopefully the matches are promoted before, like, quite a bit more heavily before the pay-per-view shows up.
Wait, you know, mid-card titles actually getting a chance on to be promoted? What fucking fantasy land are you living in?
One that I think should be followed at times. You know, call me old-fashioned, but I think a title should mean something. I don't care if it's a mid-card title or the big gold.
You're old-fashioned.
You just did that because you were going to do that anyway.
Next you'll want them to tell a story in the ring. God.
What's wrong with telling a story in the ring?
Old-fashioned.
God damn it, you bastard.
It's almost like using logic.
Logics? No,
there's no logic.
It's no logic. So Sheamus retains the belt, and I like Sheamus as a title holder, but I'm disappointed that Cesaro didn't get the belt. I thought he was ready. I thought it was time for him to grab it.
That's the way it's been for the longest time. It's just that they don't want to pull the trigger on him for some god unknown reason. Maybe they're actually afraid of talent in that company.
Well, they've had a big problem for a long time. They only it's like the writers can only pay attention to one big push at a time.
Like, well, have you guys been watching the Monday Night Wars on WWE Network that you can get for only $9.99 with a 6-month commitment?
Yes, Tim. Yes.
Yes, pretty much a lot of us have.
How many, talents were they pushing at once during the Monday Night Wars, and it was successful?
That was, the rise of Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker was still around, Triple H was on his way up.
Kane, DX.
You still had your main guy at that point in time, at least from 98, was Austin. Then you had, Taker, Triple H, Kane, etc., etc., on the next tier. Then you had a really good mid-card. Then you had... Mm-hmm. Your little opener guys that were interesting to poke at every now and again. And you also, during that time, had an up-and-coming women's wrestling, not divas, women's wrestling division.
Yep.
Well, I have a comment to make when we get there. There's a comment to be made. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
And, it just goes to show, and as it's been pointed out already, now they seem to have... We're going to focus on Cena. Okay. We're going to focus on Daniel Bryan. Oh, wait, he's injured. We're going to focus on Roman Reigns. Oh, shit, he's injured too.
Well, it's not even... it's not even due to injury. It's just they put all their eggs into one basket.
Yeah, and it's just incredible bad luck that the baskets they've put them in have broken handles right now.
And my point is they can push more than two or three people and not... lose anything. In fact, make the overall program more entertaining. They've got 3 hours on Monday night to do it. They only had two back then.
Well, here's the point. Is when someone does get hurt, they're left without a rising star, and they have to start completely from scratch again.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Daniel Bryan starts getting over organically with the crowd. They start pushing toward him as a champion. Cesaro's starting to get over, too. And he's getting over the old-fashioned way, with actual performance in the ring, just impressing the hell out of people, even though he's a heel.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, hold off. We're not... Okay, stop his push right there. We're going to build him when we're ready to build him. We know the crowd's behind him, but not right now, because we're working on Bryan. Then Bryan gets a world title. They start working on Roman Reigns. They completely forgot about Cesaro. So he's
It feels that way.
And so he completely flounders. And now the crowd, when he has matches like he had tonight, they kind of remember how much they liked him as a performer. But you don't get invested in him anymore because he's not doing anything. They took what was originally going to be like this, a very hot up-and-comer, and just let him cool off to the point where he's frozen now.
Mm-hmm. I just find it to be somewhat annoying that they're doing stuff like this.
I think a lot of us are, but that's sort of their MO, and, you know, they have a strict directive right
now. We're not their target audience anymore.
That's not even that. It's that they just have one focus and one focus for a majority of the time, and that's a guy who wears red and yellow.
No, he hasn't been popular since the 80s.
No, the other guy in red and yellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
you know, the other guy. The other guy in
the... You got to be careful. All these gimmicks starting to sound the same when you talk about them. Make sure you say which guy in red and yellow.
This guy. That guy.
The fuck?
That was from Raw. That was Paul Heyman doing Cena's theme.
Jesus. makes me wish I didn't have to miss Raw this week.
Well, you really didn't miss much. But if you did, go back and listen to the Raw Post Show, heard every Monday night, 11-10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and that was not a card, Omega. That was an actual live plug.
All right.
Well, we're coming up to the actual IC title match, but we had Big Show giving Mark Henry a bit of a pep talk in the back room with his upcoming match against Rusev tonight. He wound up giving Mark Henry USA gear and a scarf.
Yep.
And Lindsay wanted
Big
Show
to win.
Lindsay wanted Big Show to go find Bray.
She did. She did.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we need Bray the job out? Again.
Because he's not minimalized enough yet.
I don't think that they would have made Bray job out just because
no.
It was Big Show.
No, he wouldn't be a Big Show. He should be Big Show. That's the point of it all.
And
Bray
why
a lot of people, but it doesn't seem to happen at the moment.
Why are Nashville like country and western singers coming out to work the commentary table?
No.
Because they came out to honor, say they're going to be honoring the troops at tribute to the troops.
Yay. Florida Georgia Line sits down with JBL Cole and the King.
Because, you know, fuck the IC title.
It doesn't mean.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was a fucking interview more than a wrestling match.
During the match.
More than the match. I barely noticed there was a match going on because I had two Nashville Hicks talking the whole fucking time.
Racist.
Talking to a Memphis Hick.
Racist.
And it's not like we could actually notice the match going on because I kept cutting back to the fuckers at ringside every 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. What, were they afraid that this match wasn't going to live up to anything? Or what?
Because that's just the level of respect you have for the IC belt these days. You know, because wouldn't every Intercontinental Championship be better with, you know, music performers at the commentary booth?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Steamboat and Savage would have been, like, the best match ever if Hall & Oates was on commentary.
Well, you know,
really? Really? Okay. Old point for Omega.
You know what? That is, no, he gets 2 points because not only did he get a perfect analogy, but he pegged the right pop group for the era.
I do my research.
The thing is,
he gets
it. Amazing that I'm like, fuck, that would make a great Cards Against Humanity card. I mean, black card. Which music duo would you put up for the? Put up as the commentary team for the IC title match.
Except there's no Hall & Oates card.
Then you make one.
There you go. Because apparently you can do that in Cards Against Humanity on Saturday nights around, 8:30 Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern.
Ten. We've only been doing that for a year or so. But anyway...
I've only participated 5 times, so don't expect me to remember.
Hey, you're always welcome. Anyway. You're always welcome.
you've got Dolph Ziggler. You've got The Miz. They're in the ring together, facing off against each other for the IC title. Don't you think that these two deserve the respect of having at least part of their match focused on? These are two really, really good talents in the ring.
Not according to the company.
God. They piss me off. I actually really... I really like Ziggler and Miz in the ring, because Ziggler has a habit of working his matches a couple notches faster than his opponents. Yep. And Miz is one of the few guys who can keep up with it.
Yep.
So the matches have a lot of potential to be really, really good.
And this one, if you put it on mute and just watch the match, was really, really good. Well, really good.
It was alright. Wouldn't say really, really good.
Well, that's why I took away one of the reallys.
It wasn't one of their best matches, but it wasn't one of their worst ones either.
No.
It was the type of match that was above average for what they're used to doing.
But it was still spoiled because of the fucking commentary.
It felt like a 9:30 segment on Monday Night Raw. If you think about it.
A 9:30 segment.
Yeah, you know, 9:30, it's like an hour and a half into the show. Oh, hey, here's random commentators coming out to promote something. We're not focusing in on a match. Match goes on. It's a really good match. No one's paying attention because we're showing the commentators argue.
It's a halftime match.
It's halftime. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So, okay, well, you know, if you want to stretch it a bit, I guess suppose you could look at it that way. But the match ends with a new champion.
Okay, there's a couple things that happened on this one. People in the front, like 10 rows facing at the coming out the entrance, probably saw a whole lot of Dolph Ziggler that they didn't pay to see.
Why don't you elucidate for those who missed it?
So what happened was Miz Rollins.
And for Lindsay, who's probably scouring Google images right now.
You don't need to do that. Something called Tumblr. Anyway.
Okay.
Who needs Google when there's Tumblr? Anyway.
There you go.
So Miz goes behind Dolph Ziggler, rolls him up. And as he rolls him up, he pulls down Dolph's tights. So
roll
there's.
Up.
Well, whatever you want. Pulled his tights. You see his bare
naked.
Pulled his pants down. There's his white naked ass for the first 10 rows of horrified kids to see his ass that they didn't pay to see.
And WWE, family friendly entertainment.
Because
over Nashville.
Because somebody probably thought, oh, he's going to wear underwear.
Because they always wear underwear under those trunks.
Nuh-uh.
So that's sort of what happened. So we got.
I'm not going to add insight to that because I've been in way too many locker rooms where I've seen shit you should never see.
Even in the locker rooms when you're getting ready.
Yeah.
Yep. That's almost a little bit too insider for us, Mace.
Yeah, no shit. I've seen shit turn your hair gray.
I've seen shit make your hair fall out and then turn gray. Lying on the floor.
Not gonna say a word.
I've seen shit make you turn white. Wait a minute. So yeah, with the double fistful of tights, the Miz winds up with the 1-2-3 for the win.
Surprising.
And the title.
It's very surprising. Only two people picked this one correctly.
I did not think The Miz was going to get the title. I did not think they were going to give it to him.
One person was Rob. The other was?
Subway.
You.
What?
He's like, I picked The Miz.
Even I'm fucking shocked by that one. Like, really? I picked The Miz?
Yes, Miz, you picked The Miz.
Oh, fuck me.
Wow.
Yeah, so Rob and Maze picked The Miz. Everyone else in the Pick'em Challenge picked Dolph Ziggler. So Oh, man.
Well,
that worked better than I thought it would.
We all by now know that Roman Reigns had emergency surgery.
Yes.
Wound up with a major, massive hernia. It's going to be keeping him out of action for a good 8 weeks easily.
On the short end, 6 could be as much as 12 weeks.
Yeah, so I'm going for the medium, and I'm saying easily 8 weeks. So, but that means, that meant that he couldn't have his match with Seth Rollins tonight. Rollins comes out, gets in the ring, cuts a promo about how having emergency surgery is no excuse to miss a match.
Right?
Yeah, right, Daniel Bryan?
Right?
Right? No kidding. But hey, you know, in the interest of justice and fairness, he gave Roman 10 seconds to show up, and sure enough, had Little Nate ring the bell and count to 10.
Right, and I love that they brought up in the interest of fairness line. We haven't heard that in forever.
That's been a while.
It's been a while in the interest of fairness.
Yeah.
And then he issued basically an open challenge to anyone because he's an opportunist. And it's like, oh, okay, anyone coming out? No one?
Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Come on out from the back and I'll take you on, sure. And then on the Jumbotron, or the Titantron, we see a taxi cab pull up.
Conveniently.
Now, while all of this is going on, and right before the taxi cab pulled up, we're talking in the production chat during the pay-per-view while we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is great. Too bad, you know, they weren't able to schedule somebody else. Well, what if Dean shows up? No, that can't happen, because that's logical. It makes sense. And what we've seen so far tonight in Night of Champions, WWE ain't paying any respect to logic in any shape or form whatsoever. No way in hell. No. Rock, get ready. I'm telling you, no. Omega, you're the one who said it.
I nailed this word for word.
You nailed this like...
Almost. Almost.
You could have scripted this out yourself. It was so damn close.
He was only missing one thing.
Molly, 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 molly. We're not supposed to talk about the bloody mole, but there's a bloody mole winking me in the face.
Oh, he's going to be pissed off at us now.
There was if it's true. I'm making a hell of a lot more than the rest of you fucks.
Omega only missed one part of the script.
The cab.
Yeah, the cab driver did not get paid.
Which everyone brought up. Everyone brought up the cab driver didn't get paid.
Yeah, JBL saved that.
But practically just about word for word, Omega got it. Dean Rollins, you know, or
Dean Rollins.
Dean Ambrose comes out.
Dean Rollins.
Attacks him. Yeah. Dean Rollins and Seth Ambrose.
Someone's reading my fanfics.
What? Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Fuck paying cab fare. I've got elbows to drop.
So they brawl.
Despite the fact it was an open challenge, these two guys just get into the big old brawl. And it's like Dean wants revenge for the curb stomp into the concrete, Rock.
Yeah, he does. And, well, they brawled all around the arena, up the steps, around. We had the authority come out, try to break it up, all a bunch of security. It's like, hey, there's Jamie Noble. He tries to break it up. Then Dean jumps off the little platform thingy they had, and he took everyone out. They continue to brawl, brawled some more through the crowd, got back to ringside. Dean had a chair, and then more security tackled Ambrose, and they cuffed him with the pull tie thingy. And then they dragged Dean out of the arena. Seth Rollins was like, give me my briefcase. Raise my hand. I'm awesome.
And this is a good setup for the cage match.
So?
Coming to a pay-per-view near you.
Perfect cell match. They need to be in the cell. I don't know if Omega agrees, but I think they need to be in the cell.
What would you think, Mega?
Yeah, I'd say this is a cell match.
If any match deserves to be in one, this is one that does.
as opposed to forcing the issue and making one seem like it should be in a cell for no reason at all other than you can't make the Gallic Week. But we're getting there. We're coming to that. But I think right now it's time for us. We've been going for 45 minutes. I think it's time to take a refreshment break.
Our only break of the evening.
It's going to be the only break of the evening. Yeah, guys, this is a bit of a truncated edition of WTR Sunday Night. In case you haven't got it figured out by now, when the pay-per-views are on, we cover the pay-per-views and get our ass out of here because we were on so late. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night covering Night of Champions. We're going to be back right after this little itty-bitty commercial break. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night, about midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time, just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Java! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins now hits himself the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Next Thursday, in a very special edition of The Rack, we get Rated R.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
That's right. WWE Hall of Fame Adam Edge Copeland joins the show to talk about Haven, fatherhood, and even a little bit of that old wrestling talk. Hear the interview next Thursday afternoon only on Wild Talk Radio at RackRadioShow.com.
Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Rusev Udria, Rusev Machka.
What helped was my mic was not muted. That music was turned down just a little bit, so it was background shit. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio, doing the Night of Champions pay-per-view review. pay-per-view.
Special event review.
On you can watch it for only $9.99,
which they kind of said if you were they kindly said on the show if you paid $60 you were kind of stupid because for $60 you could have got six pay-per-views.
Hey fucking dumbasses!
Hey dumbasses! You could have bought the network and only paid $9.99.
Hey dumbasses! Give us less money.
What it sounded like, really?
That's how it comes across. So, back to the action in the ring. It's now another match I was looking forward to with expectations, I guess you could say. Gotta stop expecting things when it comes to WWE.
Well, especially Mark Henry.
Yeah.
It was Rusev and Henry. Lillian sang the national anthem. Mark Henry cried.
He did. He cried. And it wasn't just sweat and water that he poured on his head. He had tear tracks, too, mixed in with the sweat.
Those weren't tears. That was a collection of sweat around his eyelids.
Is it me, or was this a bad match?
It was very meh. It was not what it could have been or should have been.
It's exactly what I expected.
America!
Russia wins.
Yeah, I went out and made lunch.
Rusev crush.
Like, I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy looking at the slit in Lana's dress.
She had a new suit and apparently shoes as well.
Didn't notice.
Yeah, you did. It was the only thing you noticed.
No, I went. I could. I didn't make it far enough down her body to see shoes.
She had shoes on?
She could have been just like a torso and ass, and I wouldn't have noticed the missing legs.
The problem.
I didn't even see the top. All I saw was a slit in the skirt. That's it.
And that's okay. I'm focused.
The problem with this one is Rusev.
Oh, we know.
Problem with this match was Rusev's offense didn't look as menacing and physical as it usually does against other opponents going up against Mark Henry. It looked kind of weak.
Well, Henry's a little bit too big to sell those moves like ragdolls.
That's the thing. Like, Rusev's like this supposed to be a big guy, and he's a big guy, but he's short. And going up against a guy like Henry, it's like, it just
he
doesn't
gives up
mix.
100 pounds to Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's just got that kind of build where, yeah, he looks big and powerful, but he kind of looks like Taz fucked Eugene. So he doesn't quite have the stature.
Wait!
You said that, my jaw dropped, and I'm like, oh fuck, no.
He's got the bulk to go up against Henry. He just does not have the height to back it up.
On behalf of everybody else on the podcast tonight, everybody, I'd like to apologize on his behalf for putting that image into your collective minds. Nice visual, Omega.
So somehow Rusev is now related to Eric Bischoff. Got it.
Only by marriage.
Only by marriage.
And only in Vermont.
You say this now until he comes. It's revealed he's the president of Russia.
Of Putin. Oh, God.
So Rusev won.
Where did the tracks go?
I ran the fuck off with them.
Yep. Oh my god. Moving on. So yeah, Rusev wins with his accolade.
Again, not as impressive. It's just it's either Mark Henry or it's Rusev. It's a combination. It just didn't work. That's the bottom line.
It wasn't the match that it could have been, should have been, it was expected. Except unless, of course, your name's Omega.
Well, you know, I predict everything. Except match results, apparently.
Yeah, so, I don't know. If these two meet up in the ring again, hopefully it's a better match.
No, let's not. Let's just move on.
Yeah, just leave.
This was the end. Like, there should be no rematch on Raw. There should be no rematch on Main Event or SmackDown. This was a match.
I said if. I didn't say how big the if was.
Yeah, I know, but it's
apparently a big if.
It's WWE. They have content to fill tomorrow night on Raw. They're going to try this again.
Yeah, keep in mind, Raw won't be written until about 7 o'clock, so don't let them know.
Oh, come on. Raw won't be written until they listen to the archive of this webcast.
Which is available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Absolutely, yeah.
Might as well throw the plug out there. Anyway, moving on.
We might as well move on to another match that I was looking forward to.
The match
and
with
this
no
one
build.
Actually kind of delivered.
Had no build. None. None whatsoever.
Next to none. Next to none. And we're, of course, talking about Chris Jericho versus Randy Orton.
Why did this match happen, Tim? Can you give me a logical reason why these two men fought tonight?
Because
it's a season premiere.
No, that was 2 weeks
ago. Because Jericho called Orton a poopy head on his highlight reel.
Something like that.
Sure,
yeah.
It wasn't on the podcast?
No, it was on the highlight reel.
It was because Jericho said that Orton, third generation wrestling star, and was handed everything, was handed to him, And Orton took offense and attacked him in the locker room while he was getting his knee attended to. And that's where the match came from. I think.
Well, I've heard of worse excuses.
That was the best reason I've heard, so we'll go with it.
Yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't really hyped up or anything like that, so it's like if you blinked, you missed it, the reason.
Well, it doesn't help that every time they ran the, air quote, highlight package to actually show why they're feuding, they don't even mention the highlight reel. All they mentioned was, oh, he attacked him backstage 2 weeks ago. Yay.
Yeah, so that's all there is to it. But despite the fact there was no hype, it was a good match. And it delivered what you expect Jericho versus Orton to deliver.
It got
entertaining, good back and forth. I thoroughly enjoyed the match.
It got the crowd back involved. They sort of died during the Rusev match.
Yeah.
They got them back.
America died, Rock.
That's America died, because they now know that we have a new love child that's been created. Thanks to Omega.
Yeah, one thing that I really appreciated was the tease. Now, last time Jericho was in, came back to WWE, he got, you know, quote-unquote, knocked out of WWE with Randy Orton with the punt to the head. And they teased that during the match tonight. And, of course, it was like Jericho is ready for it. He sets up Orton for that. And moves out of the way to roll him up in a pinfall attempt.
I don't think he put him out with the punt the last time, did he?
Yes.
I don't.
It was Jericho's last match before he left, and he got punted in the head by Randy Orton.
No, wasn't his last match against CM who? Wasn't it Jericho Punk at?
No, I'm talking about that was the time before.
No.
Yeah, Jericho leaves and comes back a lot, Rock. You have to remember this.
No, 2013 was Jericho.
No, I'm not talking about the last, like, the last time. I meant, the time before the last time.
He then lost.
The last match that he had with Randy Orton that was the last match he had before he left.
Oh, like 3 years ago. Okay, 3-4 years ago. Okay.
No, it was like 2 years, 2.5, 3 years ago. But, no, and it was so subtle that if you don't pay that kind of attention, you wouldn't notice it unless you were me.
Oh, I understand. This was brought up the other day, and I was trying to figure out what it was. And backtrack, I was like, he lost to Punk. Then before that time, he got fired because he lost to Ziggler, thanks to AJ. And then I guess it was the punt, I think. I think that's the... I don't know. He's lost so many times. It was a good match.
Yeah, no, the shade of the gray that, you know, that was really good was the tease to that, which jogged the memory of some people, but apparently nobody in Philly.
No, I had this discussion like days ago. I might have even been on the rack on Thursday. We talked about it. I was trying to go through the order of it. So I remember the spot. I just, when you said last, it was like, no, it wasn't the last. I'm trying to figure out the order, and I don't remember how long ago it was, but it did happen.
So, yeah. And, you know, it was all good. Of course, Randy Orton winds up winning. But you were convinced that the match could have gone either way. At least I was convinced that it could have gone either way.
Jericho still has that believability that he can win a match at any point. The fans still get behind him. They root for him. He's a good babyface in that aspect, where people finally get behind him during his matches and believe that at any moment he can win. Well, because, well, he has the Lion Salt, the Code Breaker, stuff like that that can pull it out. But man, the finish took forever. Like, Orton took his sweet ass time to get up off the mat.
I hate those finishes.
They're cool when they come right away, but when you're just waiting.
I hate the top rope dive counter to the RKO, because whenever they go for the dive, they have to make sure they're in the right angle and position to take the RKO, which means they don't look like they're doing anything. They don't have their hands out. They're not putting out a drop kick. They're literally it looks like they're trying to attack Orton with their neck.
They're doing the Jesus dive. No, seriously, yeah. Go. There's actually a picture of Jericho taking it tonight, and he just looks like he's up for crucifixion.
See, it works when it's someone like Daniel Bryan, because he has a top rope headbutt in his arsenal, so he can kind of have that position and look like he's actually doing something. Mm-hmm. But when Orton's just standing there, and Jericho's waiting for him to turn around, you can't just jump with your arms out to the sides. It just looks so fucking stupid.
Okay.
Don't like the finish.
Okay. So, yeah, the finish, in your opinion, was a bit lame. But the match itself was quite entertaining. So, and I enjoyed it. I don't know. Did you know that Brie Bella had a promo tonight?
They give her a lot of words. They gotta stop giving her a lot of words. Like, it doesn't feel natural. She's, like, trying to explain a really long story, and it's too many words. They need to cut
it. And
like,
it would just be a shorter time to read the story than to listen to the explanation.
Yeah, and it would make more sense. It's like, we're going around and around and around and around to get to the point, and it's just very wordy, and it's, like, short. Short and to the point. It would be awesome. And
talk about a cliche line. Nikki's a lot like Karma. They're both a bitch.
Yeah, that, yeah.
So.
That's basically what it ended up being, but she talked and talked and talked, and that's why people are having a hard time believing in the Total Divas Bella storyline. So much wording, and it's like, cut it down and maybe people will latch onto it a little bit, but they don't latch on to all the talking from them.
So you'd say the old movie adage of show, don't tell.
There you go.
Or the advertising, the advertising method, less is more.
In this case, less would be get rid of the bells completely.
I wouldn't cry if that happened.
Well, there would be one person that would.
They'd be fucking cheering, to be honest.
No, one person would be sad. John Cena.
Gotta go back and watch Raw.
No, you only the Paul Heyman stuff. That's basically all you need to really watch.
Okay, fair enough. But you know, that being said, now it's time for the Divas title match, which is a three-way: Paige versus Nikki versus AJ Lee. Mace, how did your friend describe this?
Somebody described it as something.
My friend.
Oh, it was Omega's friend.
Yeah. Someone described it as Lesnar versus Taker versus Doink. You have two really qualified people in this match, and then someone who has no fucking business being there.
Or in a ring.
She held her own in this one. You can't really say that. You can't really downplay her in this one. She held her own. Nikki was really good.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I'm going to agree with Brie. She has no business in a match for the title at this point in time.
Not yet. No. But they had a really good match. I thought they got some good time. All three girls were spotlighted pretty heavily in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki showed off her strength and power for a lot of it. You had those awkward moments between AJ and Paige that everyone enjoys.
You had Paige carrying some of the bigger spots of the match.
You had Paige cradling AJ for a while, and the looks between the two were just, yeah.
At one point, she did scream, "Why won't you love me?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's cute."
And this goes back to a couple months ago where we talked about how AJ and Paige held back. Yeah, they were holding back on purpose 2 months ago. They're going all out now, and it's really good.
Yeah, and my bitching and complaining about them holding a Paige back is no longer, definitely no longer necessary.
So we had the Black Widow. It was countered for a second, but AJ locked it back in. your winner and new Divas Champion, AJ Lee.
AJ.
That belt at this point must be made of fucking rubber. It bounces around too much.
In this case, normally, you know, Macy and I are on the same page that, like, a title should mean something, and that means don't fucking switch it over all the time, or as often as it's being switched over. In this case, with the feud that they're building between frenemies, Paige and AJ Lee, I don't have that much of a problem with them going back and forth with the title between each other.
Yeah, I don't mind the title jumping around like this because it's staying between the two divas. I mean, forever, we saw how AJ was so dominant over the divas division. I think this does a good job of showing that there's a new diva that's actually on par with her. And it's not so much, well, one's definitively better than the other. They just get, you know, one just gets the leg up, you know, this match, and, you know, someone gets to leg up the next match. They just...
Yeah. Yeah, in my mind, in my eyes, both of these women have shown that they are deserving of holding that title from one day to the next. And, of course, I'm talking...
Oh, look, I'm not going to doubt that in the slightest. It's just now that this feud has started to get to a point where it no longer needs the belt to sustain the feud.
Yep.
To be honest, and I know I'm probably going to get shit-canned for saying this, but if Nikki walked away with the belt tonight, the feud loses nothing, the Bellas feud gains something that might actually give it a little bit of interest.
Well, but at the same time, that being said, it's just more forced bullshit for the Bella feud.
Well, if they're going to force it down our fucking throats anyway, they might as well at least make it worthwhile.
Well,
that's the thing. Like, you have the feud between the two champion, previous champion, that at this point is now becoming more of a personal feud, and has some really, really interesting storytelling methods.
It's been very reminiscent of things on Skinamax.
Yeah, pretty much. But it no longer needs the belt to sustain the feud. You know, this can now move on to being a personal thing. Whereas you have the Bellas, which is a personal thing that nobody gives a flying fuck about, let's be honest. You might as well throw the belt into the mix to give the fans something to give a shit about.
Well, I suppose. I'm still not 100% completely sold on that. But I will say this, Mace. The longer that I know you, the more I'm convinced that you and I should sit down together and book a wrestling show, because nobody would be able to touch it. Whatever we come up with.
Wait about 3 years when I'm in the state and it's just a cheaper phone call.
Yeah.
Because we pay so much for this.
When Skype is free. Just point.
Maybe it's not in Australia. Maybe we've just been lied to the whole time.
Yeah, there you go. Doesn't realize it, but he's paying for it one way or the other.
Nothing is free in Australia.
So, yeah, AJ Lee winning the title, I'm sorry. I'm not happy Nikki was in it. I don't care if she actually held her own or if she had some good moves or if she didn't ruin the match. The match for me was ruined because it should have been AJ and Paige. Just AJ and Paige.
Well, we'll get that at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, which is good. Fine. Works for me.
Can we get Paige versus AJ in the cell? No, I'm serious. I would actually like to see, like, it's very rare that we get something outside of a standard one-on-one or a three-way match in the women's division. When was the last time you ever saw a women's cage match? When was the last time you saw them in Hell in a Cell? Been many, many years, and even then you're going back to when there used to be a hardcore match during the 90s. So why not give the girls a chance to put on a bit of a drag out, beat the shit out of each other match inside Hell in a Cell? It's something different. It's something we haven't seen. That's what sells tickets.
And those two are crazy enough to actually put on a match inside Hell in a Cell.
Exactly!
Which means they'll end up booking the Bellas for Hell in a Cell.
Fuck.
WWE logic.
WWE, don't do that. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. We know you like listening to us and stealing our ideas. Yeah, have this one. Paige versus AJ, Hell in a Cell. Let them just go apeshit.
Yeah, if the Bellas end up in a Hell in a Cell match, I am a fucking mole. I will admit it.
Kane Kittens, did you take note of that? Okay.
Making sure he does. So, shall we get to the main event of the night, ladies and gentlemen? The WWE Championship match. Brock Lesnar defending against John Cena. Well.
So that happened.
Yeah. John Cena made to look too strong after the beatdown that he got the last pay-per-view.
And I was sort of fine with him looking kind of strong-isher in the match. Yes, I made up a word, strong-isher.
Must be a Jew.
But the ending. The ending. Why? Why?
What drunken ape came up with that ending?
I that ending just really ruined what was turning into a really, really good match.
Cena having more offense helped the match.
It was a good match again, and you know, after the last pay-per-view, you get all these idiots saying, "Oh, it's so stupid, it's so boring, I don't watch the duplexes. I don't understand ring psychology or shit like that, because all I like to watch is stuff like exploding on the movies, and I don't understand why you gotta tell me all this shit is boring." Fuck off, you idiots. It was a good story, it was a good match, it was a good ending, and Brock won. This time around, I can understand making Cena look a little bit, you know, stronger. He's got something to prove. He's in there to fight back and to prove that he can hold his own against Brock. And my whole thinking is, if he doesn't win the belt, he's not going to care too much as long as he gets a chance to prove that he can hang with Lesnar and dish it out as well as take it.
But Brock Lesnar's a beast, and what they do...
Yeah, I mean, this is enough to give a person like me and Mace and you and maybe even Omega a headache.
There's a sequence at the end where John Cena is spamming finishers like it's WWE 2K14. And Mace will get this reference better. He's spamming finishers like it's Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Yeah,
because it's just, you know, it's AA, STF, 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 AA, just over and over, like chaining them back to back. And if Brock had gotten out, F5 the shit out of him and won, that would have been the next step, the logical next step.
Mm-hmm.
Here is John Cena when he was caught off guard and got the shit beat out of him. Here's John Cena primed and ready. He's literally thrown everything he can at him 5-6 times, and it's not enough.
And Brock still comes back and retains. And it was really going well, and Cena finally goes for the three count for the pinfall when Seth Rollins comes out and interferes in the match.
Yeah. This should have been, like, I know we've used it so many times, but this should have been Superman vs. Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we got Superman vs. Doomsday with fucking Jimmy Olsen coming in and kicking Doomsday in the nuts at the last second, and Superman wins by Kryptonian knockout or something. You know, it just does not make sense. If anything, it has ruined any potential storyline. Like, I know the whole thing is meant to be, could anybody stop Brock Lesnar? No, the story for the next month is going to be, would Brock Lesnar have tapped out? You know, would Cena have won if it came down to, you know, what had happened if Seth Rollins hadn't interfered this time around? That's going to be your story. It's not who's going to beat Brock Lesnar, who's now railroaded Cena twice in a row.
Yeah.
It's, Brock is could be somewhat mortal now. Oh, well, this time I'll beat him because I'll be in a Hell in a Cell this time. Do, 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 do. And then I'll tie Ric Flair for his fucking titles. Fucking asshole. Thank you, Paul Heyman. You'll do it a million times better than I ever will in my lifetime. But
that sounds like the entrance for one Cena.
But the whole thing though is now, it's no longer going to be the story of who can beat Brock Lesnar. It's when will Cena beat Brock Lesnar?
That's the feeling that you get after tonight. Now, I can understand that they want to have a, you know, quote-unquote finishing match in the cell. In the cage. I get that this is the only way they could think of to make that viable. To make that plausible. Why is this the only thing they could think of? I would have
because
much preferred.
Vince McMahon doesn't want Cena to lose twice in a row. Doesn't want Cena to look weak.
Yeah, you know,
because weak men don't sell merchandise, supposedly. No, even though Cena is still the fucking highest selling guy at every fucking live event.
John Cena's shit's gonna sell no matter what. You know, I would have much preferred to see a disqualification because Heyman did something stupid. Because you can actually build on the story.
Heyman never does anything stupid. You should know this.
Yes, no, this is true. You know, you got a point. But I blame the finish of this match totally on Vince. It was a bullshit finish.
It's Vince not seeing the big picture. It's, unfortunately, WWE standard right now. It's playing it safe. Because The real market here isn't to see John Cena can overcome Brock Lesnar. It's to see who can actually overcome the juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you're paying money to see who it's going to be, what is it going to take. But WWE doesn't want to risk that nice Cena money, so no, we're going to make it ambiguous, we're going to draw it out, we're going to make him still look like Superman, and, you know, God forbid we risk our bottom line on something that might be interesting.
Now, here's the next question. Does it have to play into the Roman Reigns effect where they're building the next star, and, well, the next star got hurt, so we got to fall back on Superman?
See, everyone says that. It's like, well, Plan B is falling back on Superman, but I've seen that. I've seen that logic fail so many times.
But it's the second time this year they've done this, though. Daniel Bryan, they went back to John Cena. They're they need the top babyface, even though they're building a new one.
John Cena's the fallback guy.
And that's
when
the sad
part. When
they
have to fall back, they land on Cena.
And that's the sad thing right now.
Yep. Well, the unfortunate thing is, you know, I think I've made this comparison before, and it's kind of apt with how close he is in title reigns now. He's the modern day Ric Flair in that. When something goes wrong, when something is, you know, when plans fail, someone gets injured, someone quits, whatever happens, he's the go-to guy. He's the reliable one. You know, back in the day, Ric Flair didn't win 16 championships because, you know, he had, you know, that many good matches and feuds working for him. It's because, you know, they got stuck in positions where they just had to put it on someone they knew could run with the belt.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I am so over Cena bashing, it's not funny. I mean, the guy has done so much for WWE, for the company, for wrestling, for, you know, away from wrestling, all of the shit that he does. And, of course, he brought it up in a very long diatribe talking with Paul Heyman on Monday night that, you know, just listening to him say, look, I can't help but be John Cena because this is what happens. Can you imagine the feeling of having this kid who's dying of a terminal disease say that his make-a-wish is hanging out with John Cena for a day?
And going into this, they put out pictures of him at Kmart signing autographs and for all these little kids and stuff. It's like, yeah, there's no way they can make him look weak because in the kids' eyes, he's the best thing going. And it's not we're not bashing Cena this time around. It's not John Cena. This is not John Cena's fault. This is the old man who books the show. He's relying too heavily on John Cena, and that's why there's a problem sometimes.
Well, I'm thinking that, like, I don't know, call it creative, call it booking, but overall, since before WrestleMania, WWE has done a really good job. Overall, they have done a really, really good job of being entertaining. And we keep expecting a subpar pay-per-view. And to this point, until tonight, we didn't get a subpar pay-per-view. And look at SummerSlam, a real subpar pay-per-view. Look at SummerSlam, surprise the living hell out of us, pleasantly. We were expecting that one to be, we expected Brock Lesnar to beat John Cena. But the rest of it, we were expecting this, that, and the other thing, and we were expecting to be disappointed. And I think collectively we all agreed that we were pleasantly surprised.
Yes,
and we all enjoyed SummerSlam. And some of us thought that parts of SummerSlam were actually better than parts of WrestleMania.
Well, the only where I was disagreeing with you was Battleground. That one was kind of subpar because that's the show where everyone held back.
Well, yeah, that's the show everybody held back. Yeah. And Battleground was still better, in my opinion, than Night of Champions. No, I'm saying it was better.
Do you remember all of Battleground?
Let's not work on rehashing stuff, okay? I'm entitled to my opinion, that's all there is to it. In my opinion, I thought Battleground was better than Night of Champions.
Okay, all right. You heard it here first. Tim Stein, the only one who seemed to like Battleground.
You hang out with women too much. You're picking up women habits. Stop it.
Well, half the brain is female.
Well, I think three quarters of his is. But anyway, John Cena wins the match via DQ. Brock retains the title. And next month, let's not have this bullshit. Anyway, what my point was, overall, generally speaking, WWE has done a really good job. And we keep getting, good stuff overall. And we keep getting things that we can be entertained by overall, up until tonight. And it just feels to me, and we've all read the reports and heard the stories, Vince doesn't like John looking weak. Fine. So finally Vince steps in and says to creative and to booking, no, we got to do something a little bit different just to make John look a little stronger from his beat down.
And there was
from
nothing,
last month.
And there was nothing wrong with making him look stronger.
It's the way they went about it.
It's the finish making. It's all right making Cena look stronger, but they made Brock look weak at the end, and he has such an aura about him that, like, you kind of sort of killed it a little bit tonight with that finish.
Yeah. Even if you have him come back after the bell and continue where he left off, it doesn't really account for anything.
Right. Laying out John Cena at the end did nothing. If they wanted the finish, don't have Brock Lesnar looking on the verge of tapping out. That was stupid. It's plain and simple.
So, yeah. So everybody, that's the pay-per-view. And, except for Battleground, this is the, for this year to date, this is the weakest pay-per-view there is. I don't know what else to say about that.
This wasn't... The finish was very weak. But for the most part, this pay-per-view was alright. It was alright.
For everything that was booked for the pay-per-view, first off, it was weak because things weren't promoted. Certain things were not promoted. Things that they should have highlighted and promoted were, like, virtually ignored. You're talking Cena Jericho. Or, I mean, Orton Jericho.
Cena Jericho, I didn't see one ad for.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, no, like Orton Jericho, it's you know, the build-up was practically non-existent. We're all in agreement of that. You know what I mean? If they had built that up and hyped it, you know, it would have been even more anticipated, I think. Really. It's just,
look,
the whole handling up to, in the weeks prior to the pay-per-view, up to the pay-per-view itself, I think it was all mishandled. That's just me.
They promised Cena versus Lesnar Armageddon Apocalypse Super Zombie Robot Edition and ended up giving us John Cena versus Brock Lesnar Slap and Tickle Fight.
Last month at SummerSlam, we got a fight. Tonight, they brought Brock Lesnar back into WWE world. He doesn't belong in WWE world. When he looks special, no. That's when he's at his best.
This is like when WWE brought in Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, Bill Goldberg, not a good wrestler, but booked right, at least it's an amusing, you know, 5 minutes out of the episode. They wanted to wrestle WWE style, and any appeal he had was completely taken away, because now you're asking Bill Goldberg to wrestle a match. Are you stupid?
Right. Brock's a fighter. He's a beast. He beats people up. And he did flirt.
Well, you know, during all of the Brock Lesnar promos that they showed tonight, and, you know, like, I'm a professional fighter. That's what he is.
Prize fighter, he called himself.
Yeah, okay, I'm a prize fighter. That's what he
Stop
is.
Stop mentioning UFC.
Tonight we were wanting Demolition Derby. Tonight we got NASCAR.
They made a really bad left turn.
Made nothing but left turns.
Somebody fucked up and turned right.
No, that would have been cool. that's a car going 200 miles an hour into the stands.
Right, or the wall or
fucking
whatever.
Exciting.
Coming out of turn three. What are they doing?
Dale Jr. just took out Section C.
Yeah, all you see is this great big huge fucking rubber tire flying at 200 miles an hour into the stands.
Everyone duck.
And then they killed Maud Flanders.
Yeah. So, you guys, I don't know. I'll be generous. I'll give this thing a solid C.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's
yeah, not much wrong there. C is pretty much what we got tonight.
Yeah, it's a C. There's just as much good and bad. You know, for every match that had good wrestling, there was a match with bad wrestling. And some that were booked well, some that were booked terribly.
So this is the first time I see this part. After Rusev wins, they go to a sad little kid and they show him. He's all sad with Rusev winning.
America! America died!
Pretty much at that point.
All hail Putin!
See, that's the thing. Clearly, Lana's got a point here. You can't fault her for the weak American thing, because Americans haven't really gotten the job done yet.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Quick, put Rusev up against some Canadians.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
I was not going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
I told a friend of mine tonight, this is all going to look really silly in a year when Rusev's jobbing to Sheamus and the crowd's chanting USA.
That reminds me of watching NHL hockey and American teams playing, and you got these fans in the crowd chanting USA, USA. 95% of the team that they're cheering for is Canadian.
It took us almost 90 minutes.
Here's the stupidest thing that I could think of that would be really weird. If they had somebody in NXT who was about to debut and he comes from the Ukraine and he's the one who beats Rusev.
Oh. I like it from the political standpoint, but I don't see it flying. You gotta, is WWE available in Russia?
With all the ruble 99.
With all the promoting of Russia, you would expect it to be available.
You would expect it to be. I would just love to find out Russia's reaction to the Rusev.
What if we have like Nikolai Volkov come back and bitch slap Rusev a few times?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Old Russian way.
Yeah, but I don't think you can expect Nikolai to break away from the church long enough to do that.
Nikolai was at Raw like 2 weeks ago maybe, and he was backstage with Lana and Rusev, and he sung the national anthem for them. It's on their YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, for people who've been waiting and waiting and waiting, Tim, we gotta give a book away.
We've made everybody wait.
Can we do that after the best of all time, or whatever we're calling it?
No, this is the end of the... we got to give it up right now.
We got to give it away before we move to the all-time greatest.
Let's end the pay-per-view portion of the show by giving out a book.
And giving away the book is the pay-per-view portion.
Right, because, you know, we have been promoting this all week. Got a bunch of people who've entered. Yep. And
congratulations, Mace. You're tied with the top at 4-3.
Except I'm not eligible for the book, so fuck everybody.
Neither is Omega.
Congratulations, congratulations, Omega. You're tied for the top at 4-3. So is Subway, Lindsay, Brent went 3-4. Rock, you went 3-4. I really got took it up the ass. I went 2-5.
And Clip.
No, don't you dare. Do not.
Brent,
Clip.
You're off the hook.
Well, you know, since he's his personal assistant, he's been teaching him ways to... Anyway.
Stop right there!
Maximize space.
Enough!
He applauded, and now he's going to re...
Anyway, from the bottom to the top, tied at 17, we had Amazing Viper, William, Rob all went 2-5. Tied for eighth place, we had Amanda Rowe, Alexandra, Amy... some cretin, Ollie.
You forgot Vincent.
Oh, Vincent, yes, Vincent as well. And they all went 3-4. And then, tied for first place was, Chris, Michael, May, Subway, Lindsay, Omega, and Tommy. Now here's the thing. Tommy, Michael, and Chris are all eligible. Everybody else on that list are not eligible.
Actually, Michael is not eligible because, well,
oh yeah, unfortunately, Michael, you live in Sweden.
He's in Sweden. He wasn't eligible to win
Michael
the book.
Peterson, unfortunately, he's not able to get a hardbound copy of the book. But he would be if it was an ebook.
If it was an ebook, yes, but it's not. Yeah. This is a
so technically he's eligible, but he's not eligible because he's outside of North America.
And he didn't do the he didn't do the tiebreaker. So
and he didn't do the tiebreaker. Now here's a rarity where the tiebreakers actually came into effect. We had two different tiebreakers. One of the tiebreakers was, will Dean Ambrose show up tonight? And there's like one person said no, Mace.
Because I was expecting him on Raw tomorrow. I didn't take into account Roman Reigns getting injured.
Well, neither did I. And actually, you're not
shame
the
on you for not expecting his guts to explode.
Yeah, you're not the only
exactly,
one.
You know, shame on me for not wishing poor misfortune on the unfortunate up-and-comer.
There was one other person who said no to Amber showing up, and that was William R. The other tiebreaker, the only one that we have to use, how many German suplexes will John Cena take? Rock, how many did he take?
Three.
He took three altogether. Mm-hmm. And...
You and King Kins actually nailed it on the head exactly at three.
Yeah.
See, hold on. Hold on. So, again, okay. That goes back to the relationship of personal assistant.
Stop it! That's not moving on. Now, the person who came closest
he's
to
copying off
the,
King
the tiebreaker for number of suplexes happens to be Tommy guessed 4 while Chris guessed 12.
Actually, Tommy guessed 7.
Well, I've got 4 suplexes for written down here in front of me.
Yes, somebody wrote it down wrong in the email, but no, he got 7. Well,
so anyway, he was closer.
He was still closer with 12. Than Chris, who had 12. So Tommy, you have won a copy.
Hold on. Technically, shouldn't it be Price's Rice Right, rules closest without going over.
Oh, no, because then we'd have to go to the other tiebreaker, and they both pick the same.
Yeah.
So
well, fine. Dueling pistols at 20 paces.
No, so Tommy...
We're wrestling fans, cage match. It's the only way we solve things.
Anyway.
Congratulations, Tommy. You win the book.
You've won a copy of 30 Years of WrestleMania, the brand new book by New York Times best-selling author Brian Shields. Go back and listen to our interview with Brian Shields from this past Thursday night on The Rack. Tommy, send me an email at mediawildtalkradio.com with your information, and we will get the book out to you in the next couple weeks.
I was about to say, who's mailing the book?
I believe Lindsay's mailing the book.
So you'll definitely get it for sure.
You will get it for sure. She's waiting to get the book in her hand, and then it'll be mailed out. Tommy should be here this week, so you'll get it probably in about 2 weeks.
There you go, and there's our pay-per-view wrap up for the night. Now,
before we move on, thank you to Brian Shields for providing the book and DK Publishing, because it was awesome that they provided the book for us to give away to one of our listeners.
And it's autographed.
And it's autographed, yes. So there you go.
So you can display it proudly on your coffee table.
Exactly. Now we can move on to the newest segment on the show.
The all-time greatest.
I am the greatest.
Eventually we'll expand on that.
We got about 5 more months. Well, we're still waiting for you to write the intro. So, Chicken Wing versus the Million Dollar Dream.
Oh, shut up.
Tim, you're up first.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You spoke up.
No.
You spoke up.
Damn it. Which one would I go for? Chicken Wing with the Million Dollar Dream when you're locked in. These two are virtual dead heat. Really, seriously, they are. They're both variations of a whole, very similar, but at the same time there are enough differences that differentiate them from each other. But as far as, you know, being devastating or anything like that, they're both just as potentially ruinous as the other one. Showmanship. Really, there's no major difference between showmanship with these two things. Only thing is the Chicken Wing is not really used all that much anymore.
No, but one of the most famous people to use the Chicken Wing was Bob Backlund. If you go back to Survivor Series 94, he had that Chicken Wing on for what, over 15 minutes on Bret Hart? 20 minutes? Something like that?
It was around 12 to 15 minutes.
And think about that, think about wrestling today and having just one hold on somebody for that long.
No, don't do that. It's boring and I don't understand because it's a story.
But to me, going back, that was one of the most compelling moments of all time. You have the family at ringside watching him in the Chicken Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and
wrestling fans probably wonder why Bret Hart needed such a long rest hold.
Yeah, no kidding.
God, that guy got gassed easy.
That's hilarious. One of the wrestlers of the era who practically never got guessed.
People man, think but he did. Was in the first Iron Man match. Yeah, but look, he needs a 12-minute rest.
It was an hour and 5 minutes long, for fuck's sakes. Just because it's been used more recently, I'm going to have to go with Million Dollar Dream.
All right, Omega.
Hey, well, I'm a fan of the Million Dollar Dream. I'm gonna have to echo this a little bit in that, you know, they're both variations on standard holds, so it's very close as far as which is the better one here. Except, I'm gonna go in favor of the Chicken Wing. For me, it's a more interesting hold than a modified sleeper.
All right, Mace, break the tie.
Crossface Chicken Wing.
How come?
Because while the Million Dollar Dream is real effective in the ring, looks pretty and everything, if you actually lock somebody in the chicken wing, you're gonna fuck them up. That is a legitimate hold that even is used in the likes of MMA, whereas the Million Dollar Dream isn't. So I'm going to go with cross-faced chicken wing just due to effectiveness in real life.
So the chicken wing moves on. Up next, the Texas Cloverleaf versus the Sleeper Hold. All right, Tim, you spoke up first. But we'll go to Mega to get you off the hook.
We just voted off a modified sleeper. Now here's the real thing. No, this one's easy. I love the Cloverleaf. You know, I like that better than the Sharpshooter back in the day. Again, it's a more interesting hold. It looks like it hurts a lot more. I prefer the submission holds that look painful and hard to escape rather than something that's meant to knock you out. You know, and I think past past the day of Roddy Piper, the sleeper just, it's been a rest hold ever since. You know, you can't make that look effective anymore.
Ziggler brought it back into fashion for a while.
Yeah, it didn't look effective, and he doesn't do it anymore.
Well, he did it. Well, someone did it tonight. All right, Mace.
Both very simple holds, taking the opposite ends of the body. It just comes down to personal preference. I am just more of a fan of a sleeper hold. Like, a Texas Cloverleaf is pretty much a standing figure four, but it is also probably one of the weakest of the leg submissions. It's the lazy man's sharpshooter, really. I'll be honest, it is.
I admit, it's twerking their knee during a Boston Crab.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas a sleeper, even as a rest hold, is still doing what it intends to do. It is meant to put your opponent to sleep. Even if you're doing a rest hold version of it, they still do the whole, you know, one arm drop, two arm drop. It's one of the only finishes that you will see that method used constantly. So, yeah. Sleeper.
All right, Tim, break the tie.
Well, this is somewhat of a tough one. Back when I was DJing, one of my doormen, one of the bouncers, actually he was my head doorman at Three Cheers. that was his move, to shut up some drunk rowdy bastard who was causing problems in the bar. He put him in a sleeper hold. Now, the thing about it is, done legitimately, the sleeper hold is a legit hold. And when you knock somebody up, make him pass out with the sleeper hold, you gotta wake him up within 75 seconds, or permanent damage it's a potentially dangerous, very dangerous thing. Of course, in professional wrestling, again, it's used more as a rest hold than anything else anymore. But back when it was highlighted, showcased as the real thing, a legitimate thing, and matches and titles and everything had been won or lost because of the sleeper hold. Texas Cloverleaf, yeah, if you lean a certain way and put pressure on, it's gonna hurt your legs. But again, like May said, it's also just one of the weakest leg holds there is. But it does look damn cool. Sleeper holds, it was great for the 70s and the early mid 80s. Nowadays, it's a rest hold. I got to go with Flash and Dash over seriousness on this one this time, and barely give it to the Cloverleaf. I'm done, Rock.
So the Texas Cloverleaf moves on. Next week on the show, the Top Rope Brainbuster takes on the Razor's Edge, and the Mandible Claw faces the Crossface.
Damn.
We already did that one.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we just did the Crossface Chicken Wing.
We weren't going to say the word the crippler. We're just using Crossface.
Who's the crippler?
He put them in that maneuver.
In the maneuver.
Okay. Name redacted.
Yeah. Yeah. The Crossface. That move. That's next week on the show. With that being said, Tim.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So, let's start with Mace. What is your favorite type of cake that begins with J?
Favorite type of cake that begins with J? Jelly-filled cake.
Jelly cake.
No, jelly-filled cake. Or as most other places would call it, jam.
No. Jam and jelly are two different things. That's got to be jelly, because jam don't jiggle like that.
Har, har, har.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, I get jelly and jam here at the store.
Tim.
Oh, look at this. WWF, Unforgiven, 1999.
Tim, what's your favorite vegetable that begins with the letter G?
I don't like vegetables. Vegetables, that's not food. That's what food eats.
Well, you gotta pick a vegetable. So if you pick a vegetable, it begins with a G. What do you like?
Green peas.
Why?
No, I don't have to give you a why.
Alright, fine.
You just asked me what my favorite G vegetable was.
All right, Omega, you have to have the Florida-Georgia line do one of these two things.
And one of them is not go away.
Either you have to have them do commentary or actually perform on this show. Which would you
commentary?
Why?
Because at least then there's a match going on. I can hit mute and still enjoy it. I just have to look at them every now and then. A song shuts the show down. And pisses the crowd off.
Alright, there you go.
Point.
Alright, Mace. If you could have a wrestler as your stunt double, who would it be and why?
Wrestler as my stunt double. You know what? I would grow a beard just to have Damian Sandow as my stunt double.
Yeah, but Mick Foley's closer to your body type.
No, don't know what photos you've been looking at, Tim, but fuck, I'm very far from Foley these days.
No, it's an old one, given, granted, it was an old picture.
All right, Tim, if you could have a wrestler as your stunt double, who would it be and why?
Ric Flair, the only man old enough.
Omega, get prepared.
Edge.
Why?
Because we're Canadian. And he looks like he could be my brother.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, one of the stars of Haven is Tim Stuntable.
I'm quite sure the idea of me looking like Damian Sandow is more believable than you looking like Edge.
Not true.
You can hear from Edge this Thursday on the Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
You can ask Edge this Thursday on the Rack.
No, I can't.
Anyway.
No. Yeah. but I think Rock understood why I picked Edge.
Anyway, Omega.
He's got a broken neck and he makes
no,
a great
he's on the public. Rack on Thursday.
Omega, same question.
You owe me.
I don't owe you shit, do I?
You owe me.
No.
I think it. Same question. Yeah, I think Edge would make a good stunt double for Tim Stein.
No, for you.
Oh, for me.
For you.
Me.
For you.
I'm going with Dolph Ziggler.
Why?
If I had him for a stunt double, do you imagine the things I would write into my videos? Watch him bounce around like a Gumby doll. And then if he gets hurt, hey, he's got a stunt double too.
I'm just trying to imagine Dolph Ziggler with long black hair so he looks somewhat like Omega.
I'm not dyeing my hair to make that happen.
Omega's reddish hair.
No.
Brownish now?
Dirty blonde.
Been brownish.
Oh, whatever.
Brownish for a long time.
Either way, I'm now trying to figure out how R-Truth fits into that equation. Yeah. It doesn't sort of work.
Just imagine if Ziggler didn't show up to be Omega stunt double one day and he had to use R-Truth. People are going, Omega, why did your skin change color?
He finally went out into the sun.
He's only out there for 10 minutes.
And that's Quick Hits.
Oh, and that's the show tonight. Everybody, don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following WWE Raw. It's the WWE post-show right here. 3 hours worth of WWE. Broken into about 45 minutes.
Yeah, check out the Raw. Check out the Raw post-show, 11:10 p.m. right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Before
right
Tim,
after wrestling.
Before Tim screws up the next plug because it's not the normal plug, check out a special edition of The Rack this Thursday on wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com that will be available for you to download sometime Thursday afternoon as we speak to the one, the only, the Rated R Superstar Edge about Haven. Some wrestling talk, and he's actually a father, so we talked to him about that as well. Check it out this Thursday afternoon, special edition of The Rack, for download on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. And go back to listen to our interview with Brian Schultz.
Yeah, and Saturday night, tune in when they play cards on the radio.
Yeah. I should mention, follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack and check out Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWord and her Behance, Behance.net, such with LindsWord. We play cards, we make fun of King Ken Saturday night around 10 p.m. Then.
Not like he doesn't deserve it, the little prick.
He's a Cowboys fan, he always deserves it. Then, CB Radio, episode 350 this Saturday night, midnight-ish for the weird, the wacky, the unusual, the blame Rob's already in full effect. So check it out. We'll probably play a game or two and have weird news and see Subway and Rob make their football picks again. Because, yeah, Subway was on top for the first week and, well...
Hey, Cowboys won, bitch.
Again, Subway made his picks good on the first week and lately not so much. So check it out. CB Radio this Saturday. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebutton. And that's for episode 350 this Saturday.
There you go. And, of course, next Sunday night back to our regular time of 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of Rust Talk Radio WTR Sunday night. Thank you guys very much for listening in tonight. Please come back and keep coming back. Spread the word. Let everybody know that we're around. And help us regrow the audience because it'd be good to have more and more people all the time. You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. No, at Wild Talk Radio.
This one you always get right and you almost
fucked it up.
Yes. Yep.
You can also get on over to Facebook and check out Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you got that one.
Ooh,
right.
I got that one right. See, I can't get them both right. It's not allowed. I can allowed to get one right.
No, it's not.
Speaking about Twitter, you can follow me on two Twitters. One is at GoNHLGo. The other one is at ManKitchenTV. You can follow me both there. I'll be tweeting like crazy. on both Twitter feeds, really getting ready to fire everything up for that, especially with the, if you're a hockey fan, follow me on Go NHL Go, because we're going to be talking hockey almost exclusively, but not quite. There'll be more shit there. But Man Kitchen TV, guys, learn how to cook for gals. It's one way of helping your love life. Trust me on this. You'll find out when you watch mankitchentv.com, coming soon. Omega's on Facebook and Twitter.
I am. My stuff can be found over at Twitter at TJ Omega, Facebook at TJ Reviews. You can catch a lot of my stuff at tjomega.org or look up TJ Omega on YouTube to find just about everything I do. And for my Taz and Eugene fanfiction, just search me on adultfanfic.net. But you might not want to actually read it because it's a little explicit.
There you go. Hey, you know,
sleep well.
Mace is on Twitter, too.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter me saying anything because it's not going to change any of the numbers, so let's move on.
What? Okay.
The voice
everybody follow at the Mace thing on Twitter just to, like, prove him wrong that, you know, like, his numbers go up a couple. But at least five of you, please.
Say goodbye. Say goodnight, Tim.
We're done. Good night. Catch you next Sunday night, everybody. Have a great week.
I walk for my machine. I walk for my machine.